It's NBC's Holiday Weekend Monitor, here in the host chair, Brad Crandall. On farms everywhere, this is a happy time of year. Most of the crops are in, the first frost hasn't yet come, and farmers like to show off a little, showing the results of their labors to laymen and other farmers. And like they say, why not? So, in your part of the world, almost any day, if not right now, it's probably fair time. And that's a pretty fair time. Welcome them home from school with real home baking.
Our house smells so nice when you bake in the oven. A warm kind of smell when you bake in the oven.
After school treats, baked from Pillsbury refrigerated fresh dough. You know, the kind that comes in those round tubes in the dairy case. Nothing smells so good as crescent rolls baked from fresh dough. Nothing looks so good. Nothing tastes so good. And nothing is appreciated more than crescent rolls baked from fresh dough. Pillsbury refrigerated fresh dough. Dinner rolls, sweet rolls, biscuits, cookies, turnovers, in the dairy case, where the fresh things are. No wonder you don't have some in the oven more often.
Nothing says loving like something from the oven. And Pillsbury says it's best.
There's been an outbreak of trouble again tonight in Israel. Standing by now in Jerusalem is Richard Chesnoff of NBC News. We'll talk to him about the situation. Richard, what's happened there tonight?
Well, Brad, a squad of Israeli commandos crossed the border into Jordan tonight and hit back in a retaliatory raid on a Jordanian town. They apparently blew up 12 water installations. And this is a retaliation for a series of Arab raids on Israel the past few months.
Richard, what is the situation at this moment, then?
Well, right now it seems to be quiet. The reports that we have are that there is no more shooting. The Israelis say that a Jordan physician opened fire on them and that they completely silenced it. But we have no detailed reports now, and we have no availability to the area.
Do you have any idea what's likely to happen next?
What's likely now to happen is that they'll be screaming at the UN. The Arabs will go to the UN, the Israelis will go to the UN. But it's also very likely that this Israeli raid has put an end to, to this series of Arab sabotage raids that have been fencing up the border in this area.
Do you expect any kind of reaction locally in light of this newest raid, Richard?
It's possible. The border is very trigger-happy here, and then sentry guards up on the wall here in the some field outposts up in the north, in the Galilee or down in the Negev, may get very nervous now. I don't think there's going to be an overt reaction by the Jordanian authorities, but who knows? The Israelis hit back rather strongly, and their whole aim is to warn the Jordanians to stop these gangs, whom the Jordanians claim they have no responsibility for.
Richard, is this a continuation of what was described at the time of the Negev campaign of the as nibbling aggression?
Yes, it's a form of, I don't know if you remember the Fedayeen gangs that were working out of Egypt.
Well,
the Fedayeen gangs were guerrillas that worked out of the Gaza Strip. This is a new outfit. No one knows exactly who's backing them. The Jordanians say they're not backing them. The Lebanese say they're not backing them. And the Egyptians say they're not backing them. But they're Arabs working out of Jordan, and they've been raiding Israeli settlements. And they hit Israeli settlements 17 times this year. They're pretty ragged. They're a pretty scraggly bunch of guys, and they haven't done any serious damage. Israelis say they may in the future, and they want to stop them now. And whether the Jordanians say they're responsible for them or not, the Israelis say they are. And that's the gist of the situation.
Thank you very much, Richard Chesnoff, NBC News in Jerusalem. A quickie quiz now for drivers. Where do you think most accidents happen? Round home or on long trips? We'll have the answer shortly right here on the Monitor Beacon.
I'm Jimmy Breslin, and from now on, my column will be written from Vietnam. I'm going to Vietnam for two simple reasons. I'm going because the New York Herald Tribune told me to go. And I'm also going because this place, which used to be a name on a map of Asia, has turned into a land where people from New York and the rest of the country have to fight and die in a small war. And very soon, a lot more of them will be fighting and dying. I'm not going to Vietnam to write about political meanings and historical backgrounds. I'm going there to write about the people we know who are killing and being killed and spending this part of their lives with guns in their hands. There is nothing complicated about covering a story like this. You just go where United States servicemen go, then you write about what they do. Vietnam is a very bad story, but it is the only story there is in this country. I'll go there and try and write what I see.
Read Jimmy Breslin in Vietnam, now in the Daily and Sunday Herald Tribune.
The conversation station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
Monitor 65, your host, Brad Crandall. Where do most accidents happen? Well, approximately half occur just a few miles from home. The other half on longer trips. So if you think you're safe just because you're driving around your neighborhood, think again. Behind a wheel, there's always potential danger. Now, Monitor Sports. The city of Atlanta is getting on the Major League sports map in a big way, and one man who knows the score there is Furman Bisher, sports editor of the Atlanta Journal, talking now with Monitor's Ted Webb.
Furman, what would you say is the reason for the augmented rebirth of interest in sports here in the Atlanta area?
Ted, of course, we point first to our governmental change in which we came into a mayor a few years ago, Mayor Ivan Allen, who has an exciting attitude towards sports, and then we got our stadium built. And when we got the stadium built, everything seemed to bust loose all of a sudden.
That stadium, as I see it, is unique. Of course, Texas may have something to say about this, but nevertheless, you people here have something of which you can certainly be proud. How many will that contain?
53,000 is the capacity for baseball and 58,000 for football, Ted.
That brings up a question concerning the National Football League franchise. I'm sure you've been following the preliminary formation of the team that will represent Atlanta. Can you give us any information on it yet?
They have no idea whatsoever what the makeup of the team will be. In fact, the organization has hired no personnel whatsoever except the little office personnel. It will hire a chief scout first and probably general manager next, and probably a coach only after the season has been played in the NFL.
And so far, no one has been tapped positively or even by indication?
None whatsoever. So we have had a couple of rumors, and they're fairly reliable, but as far as actual consummation of any deal is concerned, there is none.
What do you look forward to here in Atlanta as far as baseball is concerned?
Well, of course, we have the Milwaukee Braves coming to us, and that has been a bit of a problem. I'm sort of opposed to long engagements, and I hope this is going to lead to a long marriage. It looks as though they're going to be here for 25 years at least. However, I think there again, this has given us some sort of an impetus, though all of the publicity Atlanta got from its affiliation with the Braves has not been pleasant. It has certainly imposed our name upon many cities throughout the nation and the world with the datelines that have emanated from here in relation to the Braves and Atlanta's future in the major leagues.
I feel that I'd be remiss if I did not mention the Atlanta International Raceway, which Nelson Weaver has guided to its present status. Just what is that doing for sports here in Atlanta?
Well, Ted, I would say this, that this was the forerunner of all the major leagues that we now have coming to town. These people got this racetrack put together about 4 or 5 years ago, and while it was also rather cumbersomely organized at first, when Nelson Weaver moved in, it became a major league operation, and as I said, our first major league operation.
Rumor is that you people may have a hockey franchise down here in Atlanta. Furman, care to remark on that?
We have a lot of population that would welcome a hockey franchise, but at the time, Ted, we have absolutely no place to put one. That's our next project, the Coliseum.
Well, I know the rest of the country wishes you all well in every one of your enterprises, and thank you very much, Furman Bishop, sports editor of the Atlanta Journal, for coming to our Monitor Sports microphone.
Thank you, Ted.
This is Ted Webb for Monitor Sports.
Weekend sports-minded listeners, stay tuned to Sports-Minded Monitor. Now, a message for all seasons.
From Convention Hall, they have selected a winner in the Mr. Swell Guy USA pageant. The judges have decided on Andrew Sarnoff, Mr. Utah.
Here he is, the Swell Guy USA. Here he is, what a swell guy.
Last year's king, Bruce Freckles, is placing the crown on his successor's head.
My son.
My boy.
My son.
My boy.
His proud parents are crying and like that. Let's see if we can have a word with the new Mr. Swell Guy USA, or Mr. Swell Guy.
Oh, that's the first time anybody called me that. I want to thank the Coca-Cola Company for making this possible. When it was hot going, I paused and opened a frosty bottle of Coca-Cola, ice cold and waiting just to nip at my tongue and refresh me.
What a wonderful, wonderful American kid. Mr. Swell Guy USA, what are you going to do with your prize money?
I'm going to school and learn to be a broadcaster like you, and maybe soon I can do this very pageant for the Coca-Cola Company. How about that, sir?
Get away, kid. You bother me.
You just can't trust anybody anymore. Glancing over Monitor's schedule tomorrow, Myrna Loy will be here. Al Capp will be, too. And Joe Garagiola casts an expert eye on the strong right arm of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Vern Law. Noted human relations commentator Howard Whitman will answer more listeners' questions. We'll hear from a lady engineer who says stop building unsafe roads. And from a Colorado legislator who wants us to go with uniform traffic regulations. These features are part of Monitor's safety survey. We'll also hear from Chet Huntley, Nichols and May, and many other Monitor regulars. That's right here, or there, on your present dial setting. Now here's music for the present. The Mancini Orchestra and the Sweetheart Tree.
They say there's a tree in the forest. Sweetheart, the one you've been waiting for.
Hey, look, I don't want to butt into your business, but if you're driving right now, what's your speedometer reading? Well, if it's over the speed limit, the chances are you won't get caught. But you're playing a dangerous game, according to the experts, because eventually you will get stopped by an accident. Hopefully, you'll be stopped by a policeman first for your own protection. However, there's a better road to traffic safety. Each of us becoming his own policeman, respecting the rules of the road. That's the topic that Burke Hall of Wilmington, Delaware, discussed with the National Safety Council's regional director, George Gratz.
Mr. Gratz, how can a city or town or organizations within these areas go about enlisting the active support of the public?
Basically, it means getting the right kind of people interested at the outset. Everyone is concerned. You must get the interest and the participation of the community leaders at the outset. Secondly, is a need to determine what needs to be done. What are the facts? So that we don't fly off half-primed, so we know what we're talking about. We need to make a realistic study of our local situation, then work out with our officials who have the primary responsibility to control traffic and the accident prevention activities such as enforcement and the court operations, et cetera, to work out a realistic program with them. So that when we talk about public support, we're talking not about a broad safety program. We must talk in terms of specifics.
How can individual citizens to get away from the organizations to the individuals be made to accept traffic and safety rules, to give up the attitude that breaking the law is perfectly all right if you don't get caught at it? As an example, how can you persuade a driver to get in the habit of stopping for a full stop sign, even when he knows there's no one around to catch him if he doesn't stop? In other words, it's up to him and Big Brother isn't watching. What do you do about the attitudes?
Well, this, of course, is our constant challenge, trying to change this attitude done on the one who has a tendency to cheat. In a negative way, we would say that sooner or later, this sort of thing is going to catch up with him. It caught up, this very violation caught up with close to 70,000 people last year who were killed or injured as a result of a stop sign violation. We feel that this chap is sooner or later going to get into trouble either with himself or involve someone else. We'd love to get him in one of our driver improvement courses so we could work on his attitude and show him that this just plain does not pay off. Our president, Howard Pyle, pointed out the other day, we've been working with the Ten Commandments now for some 2,000 years, and we're not about to stop trying to get further application of those things. So we're still working on this type of individual. I would hate to believe that he could feel that Big Brother is not watching. Sure, there's a terrific dearth of adequate police officers in the country today, but we'd like to believe that there is a chance that he might be caught for his own protection sooner or later, before he does get into trouble.
How can the communications mediums improve their contributions to this campaign for citizen support, in addition to special programs like the one Monitor is presenting now?
The thing that could help probably as much as anything would be to adapt the programming for whichever media we're talking about, to adapt the programming to local needs. The need in one community may be different than the need in another community. The need in a state may be different in one than in another. Secondly, there'd be an opportunity, I know, to help the people who are working with organizations, the staff people, who have little concept of what a program director does in a radio station or in a television station or what editorial work is involved in putting a newspaper to bed, to help develop a better rapport, a better understanding of how they can prepare material that would be useful, would be realistic, and would be effective. This sort of thing that you're doing on a national level this weekend is terrific because you're reaching the people at a time when the problem is at one of its greatest peaks.
Thank you, Mr. George Gratz, Regional Director of National Safety Council. This is Burke Hull, Wilmington, Delaware, returning you to Monitor.
Every solution to the auto safety problem, of course, concerns and ultimately rests with the individual driver, you and me. The unhappy death toll so far this weekend, as reported by the Associated Press, 156. So go where you must or where you want to go, but go there and get there safely. Thank you. The tune, Bathtub Saturday Night. This is Monitor Nationwide, of course. In Southern Arizona, folks hear us on KTAN, 580 on the dial in Tucson. Brad Crandall here, wishing you an enjoyable and a safe holiday.
This is Monitor, now in its 11th year of service to the NBC radio audience.